Oh,
there we go. A little bit of a lag.
You know what? What happened there? I think it's StreamYard because StreamYard was doing that yesterday for the Mother Tucking Post show.
It's because they spent StreamYard spends all its money on those annoying YouTube ads. And look, guys, you can tell through my Google browser that I use StreamYard. Hey, Lane,
where did you get this extra stick? Honey.
Guys, we are having a chaotic Sunday. I don't know if you could tell.
Okay. So I give these dehydrated chicken sticks to my dogs during stream time. My dog was just trying to bury this one on the guest bed. She just pranced in with this one. This is the one that I gave her brother, which means she conned this. Right. She's a thief. Ma'am.
Good morning to Fernando and Clown and Vance and Blade and I Make Beats. It's good to see you guys. It is also, I didn't realize, it is 316 day.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we'll see Austin. Here we go. Austin 316 says, we know what it says.
So, so when that promo came out, I had a speech class. And they said that you need to like do like famous monologues. And I went to a Christian middle school. Oh. And so people were like quoting Bible verses or like parts in like Christian movies, like Angel in the Outfield.
Oh no, is this going where I think it's going?
And I stood up for a speech meet and I did the King of the Ring promo. And I was asked to, after I said, Austin 316 says I just whooped your ass. Because you know I did it in his accent, right? And everybody, the teacher, Mrs. Kinsey, went, okay.
She admired your spirit.
You fired it. Yeah. Okay. Good job, Collins. Yes, this is great. And then I had to sit in the principal's office, and my parents said that no more wrestling at school. So
my big wrestling thing at school was we had a playground that was falling apart because the rural South, everything's falling apart.
Sure.
And there was like yellow caution tape on certain places, whatever. But one of the things that didn't have caution tape was like the fireman pole that you like slide down.
Oh yeah.
And all the boys would climb up the fireman pole to the top and pretend to be Jeff Hardy and do Jeff Hardy stuff, like jump off the thing. Yeah. The whole shindig. Cause they were trying to impress girls and they're, you know, kids will be kids. And there was one, I'm not going to out him, but coincidentally, his name was also Jeff. And he was like the star because like he had no fear. Like, I don't think he was capable of fear.
Yeah.
He went all the way to the top, stood on top of the thing. Mind you, we're now 12 feet in the air. And he jumped off and he hurt himself. He pretended he walked it off, tears in his eyes, pretended he didn't hurt himself. And then he limped around school for like weeks. And the teachers would be like, oh, did you, what happened? What's wrong? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine.
Medical gaslighting.
Yeah, he's like gaslighting himself to be fine. But that's every time someone tells a wrestling story from their childhood, I think of that. Because wrestling was really big at my school. Everybody watched wrestling. That's just burned into my memory.
Yeah. I mean, you weren't a kid unless you tried one of those moves. And there's a reason why they say, don't try this at home.
Yeah.
Because my youngest brother and I would stand on we have this striped long couch, right? And both of us on the armrests would do swanton dives off onto the pillows that we put on the ground. But one time, because I'm 3 years older, so I'm obviously bigger than him. So I did my swanton dive, but because the momentum of me jumping off launched him. So I thought he was jumping at the same time. I was like, what a jerk. And he just like goes flat up against like the wall. And I was like, oh, did he miss? Like, what's happening? This is in our basement. Yeah. So I'm like, what is happening? And then I look up and he's just bloody.
I had many a bloody lip. Mm-hmm. I relate. Black eye, bloody lip.
Yeah. Honestly, if you didn't do that at least once, were you even a child?
Yeah. Roughhousing, I think it just makes you tougher, you know? I think kids, when siblings beat the crap out of each other when they're kids, I think they become better adults.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do we introduce ourselves yet?
Oh, no.
My name is Kylie. I want to call in if you're watching us for the first time. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry. If you'd like your super chat read on the air, give us $1. Give us $5. I don't know what the minimum is. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it
$2.99, I think.
So, I don't know, because I don't remember. Jeremy told me like ages ago when I was, he was like, you're gonna produce your own shows now. Here's the thing. And I was like, yeah, I got it, bud.
Have you ever super chatted someone?
Have I ever? Yeah, I've super chatted people because, like, I think I try to do like donations, like through, like, if a creator has PayPal or something,
yeah,
they make a little bit more because YouTube takes a cut. But I'm a firm believer that if I'm using YouTube for free, I should support creators when I can. It's not a requirement, of course.
Right. But it's never a requirement. We do this for fun because wrestling made me cry and it's fun.
I also need to address, Lawrence in the chat said, I once had an accidental death match. Collaboration. You can't say that and end with that.
Mm-hmm. Please.
You had an accidental death match with your brother. We need the story. Is said brother alive?
Well, not everybody dies in a death match.
I know, but that accidental death match with my brother. I need the story. Put it in the chat. We'll read your story. But yes, make sure to submit your super chats if you want. Make sure that your question, your comment, whatever gets read on air. We're going to be talking about AW Revolution today and AW Dynamite because we had the debut of Speedball, Mike Bailey.
Oh,
who, and they are like someone I think AW fans have been like really, really anticipating because like their wrestling style is like very similar to a lot of AW wrestlers and their character and like their just vibes. Mm-hmm. And I said this on Blue Sky. I feel like they just slot like seamlessly into AW. We have a super chat from Van Twinblade who says, what are the top 10 best promos of the year and why are 7 of them Toni Storm promos? That is so real. Toni Storm is honestly, so great.
Between her and Mariah May, like that's it. That's the entire list.
Yeah. This promo from Dynamite was just elite. It was just excellent.
Elite. Oh my gosh.
So she comes out and she has the belt and she's doing the, you know, the timeless Toni Storm thing. But it's basically a champions promo, but in this Toni Storm romantic way. And she's like, a piece of me will always be gone. Like Mariah May, you know, permanently changed her. And then of course she gets attacked by.
Okay. But also what makes a great promo in today's age is how they cinematically set it up, because not only are you seeing Toni Storm right there, but you're seeing the reflection of her in the background, which was like the way that it was shot. It was just so perfect. It was exactly for the home viewers, because obviously if you're in the, you know, arena, you're getting just the promo. You're not exactly seeing how it's being filmed, but, it was really, really, really good. And did you take advantage of the AEW shop promo stuff that was going on? Use code Revolution?
I did not, because I forgot. Because there was some stuff that I had bookmarked, like a couple Hangman shirts and then the Toni shirt and then the new Kenny Omega shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I had them bookmarked. I just forgot. I was very upset about it. But they have a sale typically like every pay-per-view or every big like season. So we'll get it on the next one.
Yeah. There'll probably be something for Dynasty or what have you. Yeah.
Which is so soon. April 6th, right?
Yeah. My wedding anniversary.
The dynasty of your marriage. Oh, that's so poetic. Toni Storm would love this.
I know. But I will not be, I know that some people like wear their wedding dresses again and, you know, all the things. Mine had a 2022 clasp corset and I can't sit down in it. So it's a standing only because it's full corseted up.
It's a dress for pictures.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. I got those pictures. I'd love to wear it again to something fun, you know, that doesn't require sitting. Although thinking about it, how I, so when we were transporting in the car, I had to.
Like slouch out?
In the back seat.
Just, like a wooden plank?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you've ever worn a corset, you know the struggle.
You know. And then you're like, please don't get into a car accident.
Because if you don't do that, you can't breathe.
Yeah.
Because like when you sit, like everything gets compressed. And so then like the corset is at its limit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But here we are. And that I'm going to celebrate with all my friends. They're coming over. Wish you could come, but you know. Teleportation doesn't exist yet, so
I wish it did. So I'd be at your house every day. It's how did we like we live legitimately on the opposite sides of the
literally.
At least Kate is like on my side of the country, and like John and Jeremy are not that they're far, but not as far as
they're the drivable to you, right? Like a full day's drive, whatever. No, I've looked and I was like, oh, literally it's like 2 days, like 3 hours and like some odd minutes. And I'm like, oh
yeah,
I would be driving for 2 days.
Isn't that crazy?
No, thanks. Unsubscribe.
The US is just big.
Yeah, it is. But I brought up the AEW shop because I was about to check out and I saw that Megan Bain had a shirt and it looks so cool. And I have not seen
the shirt.
I have to hand it to all these new artists that have been working for AEW. Like they took the criticism of stop using
this like AI.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're not only real people, but they're like really talented artists. And a lot of them are AEW fans who have made art of AEW for funsies or for commissions. Exactly. And so this is, it's like a really big deal. Like I'm always really excited when I see that an artist, like a real life human being has designed something. That's so good.
Look at that. I mean, it reminds me of the art of like Xena and how that kind of art used to, you know, possess everything. So if I want a, you know, warrior, if I want, you know, and it's also one of those tri-blend shirts. So it's kind of got the texture to it.
Ooh.
I'm all about it. But what's on your shirt today?
I have Christian Cage, At Work Everyone. And I wore this because I figured we were going to talk about Christian Cage.
Someone made a TikTok. So like one of the trends on TikTok is the father figure song by George Michael. I'm only your
father. Yeah.
But it's just like a fan edit of Christian Cage. And I'm like, honestly, yeah. Yeah. Today my shirt is Billy Starks.
Someone else we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. Look at us planning our show with our shirts. Ooh. And
today, my sister had asked me, what shirt are you going to wear today? I was like, I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet. I'm going to go look in the closet and figure it out. And she goes, you know, is it going to be one you haven't worn before? How do you make sure you never wear them? And I was like, girl, I've done like 400 podcast episodes in my career. There's no way. And she's like, you could have 400 wrestling shirts.
I mean,
and I do have a section of like forbidden shirts that I don't wear because so a lot of them are CM Punk. And every time I wear them, it gets the people get a little weird in the chat.
So I don't know if you could see it in frame. So If you didn't know, I'm on my laptop right now. That's why it looks grainy and like you're from the past. My computer shit the bed. I don't know what happened, but every time I powered it on, it would get through like the startup of Windows, and then it would freeze and then blue screen of death. So that was the entire circle. Mm-hmm. Took it to the computer shop yesterday. They suggested, hey, this is an issue that's been going on. All of your hardware seems to be working. So go home and try to reinstall Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So because I have a wonderful husband who does things for me, he took it and he was trying to do it for like an hour and a half yesterday. And every time it failed.
I don't get it.
It's a brand new computer. Yeah.
Just install Windows.
It's literally such a bitch. Right. Literally a couple months old. So everything like streaming wise that I've purchased that's compatible with it, like is not compatible with this laptop, because this laptop, it has its charging port and two USB ports. That's it.
Mm.
Because
it just goes to show the dedication to wrestling made me cry.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly. But the reason why I mentioned is because I brought out this box because I had to get some like computer stuff out of my the closet. And I go, what is in this box? It's shirts of wrestlers that I can't.
I have a collection of those. I recently moved my Acclaimed shirts to the Forbidden section of the closet.
Same. My Jericho shirts are in there.
The only one that's not in there is my Bucks of Jericho, or is it Y2 Jackson? And that's because I wore it so much as pajamas. It's like worn soft.
Yeah.
And so I only wear it as pajamas.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so comfy. But maybe on one day for funsies, I'll do like, here's a tour of the Forbidden t-shirt section. And I'll take out like the really bad people.
I have like people that
were canceled. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have some of those. I think every wrestling fan has some of those.
What am I going to do with it? Donate it?
Yeah. Cause then so like someone else can wear it. No, it gets in my closet.
Throw it away.
Then it goes in a landfill and it's waste. Yeah.
So I have the space for now, but we'll see what happens. Might get out the old sewing machine out here, make some cloth rags or something, you know.
That's pretty smart.
I know. I really am smart.
You amaze me every day.
Honestly, my goal this summer, because my husband really likes Takeshita's pants.
Yeah. Like
those samurai kind of pants.
Yeah.
And I see them online and I'm like, that pattern doesn't look hard.
Yeah.
Because it's not form fitting at all. It's just making sure the length is correct.
I really want to start sewing my own dresses because I wear dresses to work predominantly. And there's a woman I work with. She sews all of her own dresses. Like she goes and picks out the fabric and the like the pattern, and she sews them herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to try it because they look so good on her.
Yeah, because they're tailored to her. Every garment that has been sewed for me. Voodoo doll patterns for those. Oh my god!
Amelia said, just in the chat, start looking for voodoo doll patterns for those shirts. Yeah,
that is so iconic.
I love when people just come into chat and they just come out with the most banger statement.
Amen. 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 Absolutely.
But I thought about, because I have a lot of wrestling shirts that they're like, I could wear them, but I don't, because one, they're mostly black and I live in Florida, so, and I get hot. And also it's just, you just have a lot of them. It's hard to work through all of them. So I think we talked about this. I thought about sewing them into a quilt and having like a little wrestling quilt. I think that'd be so cutesy.
I should send you the company name because I am also of the NeuroDivergent brand where like big projects overwhelm me. I'll start them and not finish them.
Yeah.
There is a company that will take things that you start and don't finish. and they finish them for you.
Period.
So if you want that information.
I would love that information.
Okay.
I love that this whole tangent started because we were talking about Toni Storm and that epic promo. But amen. Toni Storm's promos, I think the timeless Toni Storm character is just iconic. It's generational. It's going to be up there with, like, you know, you look back at like Steve Austin, the Rattlesnake, and you look at The Rock and Trish Stratus and like these iconic characters in wrestling. I think timeless Toni is going to be up there. Like 20 years from now, people will talk about like characters and promos mm-hmm. that caused a shift in wrestling. And I think timeless Toni is going to be one of them.
So speaking of promos, so I don't know if y'all know this, but RuPaul's Drag Race, I do a watch a post show with Jose on air, on the air. And yesterday we were talking about New York, Tiffany Pollack, on Big Brother. And she has a very iconic promo monologue, because that's all it is, on when she was on Celebrity Big Brother. And if you want to go check that out, you can go over to Jose on the Air's TikTok, because I bet him $5 that he could do this monologue, and he dedicated his time to do this monologue. I paid him the $5 because if you know the monologue, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. You know? There's a word in there that I can't say on this channel. Lots of words.
A mystery.
Did you ever watch?
Yeah.
Celebrity Brother?
Yeah. But okay. It gives the audience a little mystique.
Oh,
go
yes.
Check it out. Well, after yes, the go show, check go out. Check it out. Don't leave
us. I mean, if you want to multitask, you can.
Oh, if you can multitask.
Don't leave us.
Yeah, don't leave us, because we still have a lot to discuss. It's been a chaotic show already. But you know what? You guys, most of you have been here before. You know. I was going to say something about Megan Bain.
And okay.
I completely forgot. Oh, I was going to say, I really appreciate that Megan Bain had a big debut
mm-hmm.
and has been like somewhat protected in AEW to get to this point. Because Toni comes out.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And basically says, like, hey, I'm the champ, but if any of you want a shot, come get your shot. And Megan Bain says, okay, bet. And laser out. Megan Bain said, no one's going? Nope, I'll go. I'm not afraid. Yeah. And I think this is going to be so, so fun. Timeless Toni as this like baby face, just like starlet icon. Just, I'm going to be so, so, so sad when Timeless Toni loses the belt. I want her to be champion forever. I want her to retire with the belt.
You want her to Mildred Burke the title, where she literally has it for years and years and years.
Queen of 20? The Ring was so good.
Did you cry? Because I cried.
I did cry. Queen of the Ring was an iconic film. I was in that theater because I didn't know it was a limited theatrical release until on Revolution.
And right, same.
The director's like, hey, we're only in theaters for 4 more days. So I booked my tickets for Monday night because I was going to see Queen of the Ring. So we go, we see Queen of the Ring. It's a little long, but the story is so good. And I just left so inspired. I was like, man, because this was a time where it was like dangerous for a woman.
It was illegal.
Yeah.
It was illegal.
And it was like, Mildred Burke is just such an icon and a pioneer. And I just left being like, oh my God, there is hope for women.
Also, so it spans over Mildred Burke's entire career, right? She wrestled into her, you know, late 50s, I think, right?
So, yeah, something like that.
But like when she meets Billy Wolf, her, you know, Billy Burke, she's obviously very young. I don't know how they make Josh Lucas look young and old in the same movie when he's in his 50s.
Yeah.
But like he looked so young in the beginning, and then I was like, wait a minute, how did they make him look so young?
Casting was really good in this film, except for Tyler Posey, because at the end they show like real pictures of the characters and they say what happened to them, and he looks nothing,
absolutely like nothing,
nothing. No. So
I do want to give my little gripe though, because I'm the kind of person that I am. I go, okay, before I go to this movie, I need to know everything there is to know about all these people. I don't like to go into it blind, nothing blind.
Yeah.
So I'm learning all these people. I'm learning how long they've been wrestling, where they wrestled, all the things. Gladys Gillum, Killam Gillum, right? That character. There's a scene where she's like tired and all these things. And she goes up against June Byers. And in the movie, she... Sorry, spoiler alert. Okay. She dies in the ring. Right? She has like a little seizure like Bryan Danielson has. Mm-hmm. And I go, no, 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 no. That didn't happen. That never happened. And I go, how long did she live? So I'm like looking. I'm like, that never happened. Miss Gillum? Lived till 89. She didn't die in the ring. Why would you do that? Why would you interject trauma in a movie that's already kind of traumatic? You could have done anything else. Why?
I think because to make June Byers look that much worse. Spoiler alert still. The whole story was that like she was so disgustingly stiff in the ring and was like purposely hurting people. Mm-hmm. And then obviously at the end, she's like the villain. Like she takes Mildred's man. She tries to come for her title, that whole thing. But you could have just invented a character and killed them.
You could have invented a character. And then I'm like, people are going to think that this really, oh my God. Which I'm sure it's not a big deal. I'm sure it's not a big deal. And you know what? I liked that Camille playing June Byers was actually the NWA champion at the time.
Yeah.
That they were doing all this. Because I feel like if AEW was actually still booking her, they could have made that like a thing. Like former NWA champion. However.
Yeah.
That makes me cry. Because regardless of how she is as a person, I am blocked by her because I've her. But what a fabulous moment where it's like I've held the same title that is called the Mildred, right? Mm-hmm. Her face is on it.
It was so because like
what a waste.
We get to see Toni Storm. There's like a brief glimpse of Britt Baker.
There. Yeah.
So it was just funsies. Like if you're not a wrestling fan, I think you still like the film because it's like a heartwarming story of like female triumph and the battle against abuse and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're a wrestling fan, there's a lot of faces that you'll recognize. And that's like
Trinity's in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Trinity's in there. Clown asked, is it the better, same or worse than Iron Claw?
Here's the problem with Iron Claw. It's literally you're literally watching generational trauma happen with multiple things. And when people go, oh, like there's brothers, there's inconsistencies. Yeah. It's because the real story is more traumatic.
Yeah. I think as a woman, I preferred Queen of the Ring just because I related to it more. But I think they're both very, very good wrestling centered films that don't require a lot of wrestling knowledge to understand, if that makes sense. And they're both just like, I love to see wrestling history become more mainstream. Because in both of these films, you can see like the social issues at play. Like Queen of the Ring, it's obviously like misogyny and domestic abuse and that kind of stuff. And then in Iron Claw, it's like this toxic masculinity, this like generational trauma and abuse and mental health and that kind of stuff. So I like them both equally. It was fun to see Toni Storm, though, not going to lie, because she was so good. Because I was, whenever a wrestler gets into acting, I'm always like a little bit on the fence. But Toni, and we should have known because Timeless Toni Storm is so good. But she was just so good in this film. She wasn't in the whole thing, but right. When she was in there, she was like so iconic. Mm-hmm. But all the actors they chose, I thought, like the actress that plays Mae Young, so good.
Do you know that that's Clint Eastwood's child?
Really?
Yeah. And the mother of Kate Winslet in the Titanic, the red-haired lady, that's that their DNA together into that person. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What sorry. I told you. I went, I need to know everything.
But the actress that plays Elvira, she was in the show called The 100. And that, like, she played a character named Octavia. And so me and my sister, we loved that show, The 100. And we were like, oh my God, it's Octavia. And she was Elvira, but still. And then, like I said, Tyler Posey was the only one that I was like, okay.
I thought it was so funny. Cornette's
in the movie too.
Yeah.
I saw him and like literal fear response. I was like, no way Jim Cornette's in this movie.
If y'all were following me on Twitter in 2020, you know my feelings about.
Oh yeah, Cornette. I think everybody here has had their run-ins with old Corny.
I still have a DM from him calling me a fat lippy douche.
Yeah, he called me a witch. Okay, I guess. That's all you got, I guess.
I love it. The witch and the fat lippy douche. Let's go.
We just changed the title of the show.
Oh, no. He's not getting any of that credit. But great, great movie. But it did a really set up for me just loving more women's professional wrestling. I don't think it was possible to love professional wrestling more for women. And I only want to see really women. And here's the thing, and we're going to tie this back to Revolution. Mariah May and Toni should have main evented.
100%.
I do not give a hoot what anyone says about, oh, the angle for the AEW. I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, because that was disappointing.
Yeah, the ending shot of the Mariah Toni match where they're like on the stage and they're all bloody and beaten and Toni is just like holding Mariah.
Yeah.
Closing your pay-per-view with that, it's an open goal. It's an open goal. And instead, they not only was it not like semi-main, there was more matches in between.
There were like, what, two or three other matches? Yeah. I can't remember.
And then including a cage match, which also could have closed the show.
My God. The, I hate you. I fucking hate you.
Yes. Just like that, like those extra layers of storytelling. Because like Toni Mariah obviously had all the cinematic like storytelling elements. Kenny Takeshita, that's such like a heartwarming moment and also a layered story. Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, the screaming, the crying, obviously the cage match stuff, the blood and all that kind of stuff. But that was heart-wrenching. The main event. Was I genuinely supposed to be like, oh my God, Christian Cage is cashing in?
I think I audibly went, ah.
I literally... I was like, it's happening exactly as we predicted, and I hate it.
I know. We were just here last week.
We had better ideas. And Lawrence in the chat says, I mean, you do be casting spells. Lawrence, if I could cast a spell, this wouldn't have happened. Okay? Christian Cage would not have been involved. That's why I wore the shirt, because I'm ready to talk about it.
Because, but, like, can we also talk about how Kenny and Takeshita went 28 minutes? Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher went 29 minutes. Tony Storm and Mariah May went 13 minutes.
They should have had 30.
And I'm not going to be gaslit by some burner account telling me that was a perfect length. I don't care if it's a perfect length. I want more women's wrestling. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like,
I think having 13 minutes, they had the best 13 minutes they could have had, but they could have had 30 and it would have been that much more meaningful, especially after, you know, knowing this main event happened.
For 26 minutes.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I thought that Moxley and Cope were evenly skewed, right? For the first like 15 minutes of the match, I went, wow, this is really great. Because obviously John Moxley promo was like, I'm going to freaking break your neck. Like, that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to make your family watch you pass away. Yeah. And that's when it's like, oh, he means that. So you see John Moxley trying to break his neck, and you're seeing Cope like take every obstacle. And I'm like, wow, this is a really great main event. Something's going to happen. The moment that shenanigans started happening, and then you hear Christian Cage come to cash in his little thing, I'm like, oh God, they're going to end it here. He's going to do it. And then we see, you know, Jay White and all the things. I'm like, ah, this is exactly how I thought it was going to happen. But then there was a moment that I was like, this could be fun, when Moxley was choking out Christian Cage and he just puts his hand on top of Cope. And I was like, oh, that would be hilarious. What a great ending. But they didn't pay that off. No. They didn't. No.
And then, to top it all off, Christian being there had no real impact at all.
None.
Because not only did it not move into a Cope-Christian angle, Moxley won. And then, on Dynamite, apparently our direction is Christian Cage, Nick Wayne. So, like...
But, like, did that whole segment not fire you up for him putting his hands on Nick Wayne?
Oh, I was fired up for it. I was into it. I've been wanting Nick Wayne to be a breakout star for like a long time.
Right.
And Nick Wayne questioning Christian Cage, and then to the extent where Christian Cage feels like threatened by him, and then Mother Wayne kind of sticking with Nick Wayne, like she doesn't follow Christian Cage, but then Kip Sabian is very much just on Christian Cage's side. I like it because I want the patriarchy to be broken up.
Yes.
I understand that they had to get rid of the Christian Cage briefcase, right? I just wish that they had done, like, Christian Cage is in a feud with someone and the briefcase is on the line, and then we can get someone who, like Jay White, who successfully cashes in, wins the title, and then we never do it again. But now, all of this, the storytelling they've done with Christian Cage in this briefcase up to this point feels like meaningless, because they set it up that the briefcase was going to be this like pinnacle thing in the Cope Christian Cage story. But that's not what happened. And so now we get Cope Moxley again in a street fight,
because why
do we need it? I don't know. I hope there's some shenanigans that happen and we end up with a new champion. I don't care if it's Cope, I don't care if it's Jay White, I don't care if it's Joe off the street. Okay,
Joe off the street, just some guy.
Some guy. I don't care. I need the Death Riders to be done, because AEW is building a trios division. We have so many trios.
Sorry, that took me out.
Joe off the street.
Yeah.
We have like so many trios, but like we can't, they're not doing anything with them because the trio champions are the Death Riders who never defend them, never really have matches as a trio, just kind of are there to serve Jon Moxley in this weird story. So why not just.
Why not?
Break them up. Take
a crazy chance. Why not?
Yeah. Like throw a Hail Mary. Because like if you give the title to Jay White, instantly elevated. Because Swerve has like the number one contender thing.
Yeah.
His like number one contender spot. But for Dynasty. But we have the street fight in the interim. I don't think Swerve should win the title. I think that's controversial to say. But I don't think Swerve should win the title. Because I have a vision
for Swerve. Okay, proceed but with your vision.
My vision is I am fully in support of a Hangman Swerve tag team. I'm sorry. Okay. I would lay my life on the line for it.
Okay.
I don't want another Swerve Hangman match, another feud, another, you know, I don't want that. I think there's like more story because we had those. I think there's more story in them being a tag team. But Cope and Mox, I'm just not interested in this match again. And I also don't think Cope has a leg to stand on in challenging for the title again.
Well, here's the thing. He does because he was never pinned.
I know, but like
People have gotten title opportunities for way less.
I know, but I feel like that's like kind of a problem. I don't know if you guys watched Collision last night, but Griff Garrison.
Who the fuck is Griff Garrison?
He's just back.
He's been in Ring of Honor, and here's the thing that I hate. He's in a tag team with someone that, stable, I guess, a faction, with someone that I dislike more than Jericho at this point, is Jack Jameson. I don't, mark my words right here, March 16th, 2025, Jack Jameson does nothing for me. Nothing. Brings nothing. I don't even think he's a good wrestler. But you know who's also in their tag team? Preston Vance. Why is he with Griff Garrison and not LFI? Why did he go?
I don't know.
And their tag team is a fraternity.
Yeah.
Do you think that's not for me.
So
this is not for me.
He used to be in the Varsity Blondes, but now it's like he graduated high school and now he's a freshman in college. I feel like.
And you know what I hate more than a lot of things is freshman boys. No, thanks. Please leave. I don't want you around me. I don't need it.
AEW, like cycling talent, I agree with. And I like that. I just feel like. There's so much on the roster that will succeed on its own if you just let it.
Sure.
And sometimes I feel like AW kind of stands in its own way. And that's how I feel about the world title picture and to the TNT title picture as well. It's like,
okay.
Mox was a fan favorite. And like Mox will get something done. But the Death Riders wasn't working and they just doubled down on it. And then Daniel Garcia was a fan favorite, is a fantastic wrestler, TNT title, all those kind of things. And then it's like his first big challenger or his first big match like ever is Adam Cole. And like, instead of putting it on Revolution, they put that weird multi-man match. So I don't know. I feel like Mox is going to win the street fight. There's probably going to be shenanigans. And then I wouldn't be surprised if they turn it into another three-way at Dynasty, Swerve, Mox, and Cope.
Ugh. And then
just keep dragging Mox and Cope until Until when?
We don't have any other good storylines. Come on.
Because it's like you have Osprey, who's like primed and ready. The moment they pull the trigger, he's there. He's ready.
Sure. Absolutely.
They've taken Omega and Okada out of the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have either of them. But you have Jay White. And you, like, you have a very, very talented roster. You have Hangman. I don't think people want to see MJF quite yet in the world title picture again.
I don't think that people like MJF right now.
I don't think they like MJF right now either.
I don't think he does anything for me.
But, like, if AEW has a strength, it's these singles titles.
Yeah.
But so, like,
You have your middle titles being way more important now.
Yeah, and, like, I don't see, because I'm trying to be, like, judicious. I don't see really the value in keeping the Mox Cope thing going.
Judicious.
Because you can, like, take Cope and put him in something else, and he can still kind of carry that story of, I was never pinned, I'm going to fight my way back, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Mm-hmm.
And do Mox Swerve. And, like, that, I think if anybody can save the world title angle, then it's Swerve. But you also have that standoff between Shibata and Kenny. You have Ricochet doing stuff, Mark Davis and the Murder Machines. So, like, they're getting stuff going, but it's like this one thing, this like Moxley world title angle feels like a 10-pound weight dragging us to the bottom of the ocean. That's what it feels like.
So we're drowning. We're just drowning.
Yeah.
We're just, like, drowning.
And people want to like Mox, and that's, like, the really, really sad thing. Like, they see Mox, and their instinct is to get excited, but then they realize it's going to be another beatdown angle with a run-in from Claudio.
Yeah.
And with your lucky pack will be there. And it's like, oh, here comes Jay White. He's going to do some shenanigans. Oh, and if Marina gets involved, here comes Willow, because intergender wrestling is bad. And I just... And people in the chat, a couple people have said something along these lines. The walking weapon is the one to beat Mox. Where is he?
Where's
Josh Alexander? Where? First of all, I don't think he's going to be the one to beat Mox. I think they're going to put him in the Daniel Garcia thing. Let them do something. I genuinely still believe they are committed to Darby Allin. I really do.
What if he gets stuck up there? What if he never comes down? What if he just becomes Mount Everest?
Then we pivot to Hangman Page. I'm like flabbergasted by this world title thing. And the fact that so many people are wrapped up in this.
I mean, fair.
But
there's too many people involved. Too many cooks in your kitchen.
Too many cooks in the kitchen. But we have to talk about Kenny Omega, because hello.
What a brilliant match between him and Takeshita, because there is an edge to Takeshita since turning heel that is, like, kind of hot.
Okay.
And, like, I mean, I love Takeshita, but it was like the way that he was trying to injure Kenny Omega is like, can we stop playing with his diverticulitis, because I'm going here going, oh God, oh God, oh God.
Yeah. Cause Kenny sells it like he's on the brink of death.
did him and Brian Danielson go to the same class of.
Yeah. It's called Sickos Academy.
How do I get one of those shirts? Jeez.
We need to start a wrestling stable, me and you, called Sickos Academy. We need to start a new podcast called Sickos Academy, and we teach people how to be real sickos.
I don't want to introduce myself. Hi, I'm Auntie Collins from Sickos Academy. They're going to put me on a list. Kylie, they're going to put me on a list.
You know what? Wear it as a badge of honor.
Oh, God.
This is
the best podcast ever. There is no other podcast greater than this podcast.
I know. I've such a blast on here. And then I feel like in the chat, people are also having a blast. And I'm like, yes, this is it. This we have attracted, we have cultivated with intention and manifestation energies, the perfect environment for chaos, destruction, and sickening commentary.
Total domination, domination, domination.
And I think that's why we like the wrestlers we like. Because, like, yeah, if you look at, like, Kenny Omega, Effie, Speedball, Brian Danielson, Copeland, it's, like, the vibe of just, like, throwing your whole heart into something and then being kind of okay with it when it gets stabbed.
I would prefer it if he would just stab me.
Yeah, I think that's where Kenny Omega, I think he's like, what would it be like if I got stabbed? So you're going to hit me in the gut and I'm going to sell it like I'm in a murder film. Because like he's like, he doubles over and he's also like groaning. Like he's,
yeah,
like he's been entirely just gutted with a blade.
I know. I'm
like, and it drives me crazy because if we lose Kenny Omega again,
I don't think I'll be well.
I will be so unwell. Cause you know, when Kenny Omega retires, you're going to see him like once a year and it's going to be some random picture at like an anime convention that a fan took. And I can't do it. But one thing I will say, Kenny Omega as champion, he comes out on Dynamite as champion. He has the belt. He cuts like a very feel good promo about, you know, I thought I was going to die, but then here I am and I have singles gold. He's Grand Slam Kenny Omega. Peak. I am so invested in this Kenny Omega title run. And then they're, yeah, having like the little eliminator tournament and Speedball finally debuts.
So
they come out and the crowd goes wild and they're like big smile. Everything is great. It's a great match as well. Just got here.
So the thing that I loved about Dynamite on Wednesday is, first, Kenny came to the ring to do his little promo and he's out there shaking hands and kissing babies.
Yeah.
You see like a moment with him in the crowd and someone is literally trying to give him like, oh, I made this thing for you. I don't know how wrestlers do it because where do you put that stuff? I get sent things like once every blue moon where people go, I'm going to be at this show, I have something for you, which shout out Nacho Princess. Nacho Princess on the social medias always finds me at my wrestling shows and goes, I have something for you. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. So he's out there kissing hands, shaking babies. Wait, no.
No shaking babies.
No shaking babies. I'm sorry.
No babies have been shaken.
Shaking hands, kissing babies.
Okay, yes.
But then as he's going back to the, you know, through the good guy tunnel, Shibata and him having that stare down, I was like,
I was the only shaken baby when I saw that.
And someone please shake me so that I can go back to factory settings because, oh my God. No, I want to see that match. But then it's like, well, Speedball had this amazing match, amazing debut. And I don't know. I don't, the precision of their kicks. I would be opening doors with my feet. I would, if I had that kind of precision, why use hands when feet do job? Get your head out of the gutter. Get your head out of the gutter. Get it out. Because the precision of his kicks, I would be making videos of doing spin kicks to open up doors, drive a car, do your mail drop with your, with, could you imagine trying to close a mail slot and just do your spinning kick? I have so many questions.
You like put something in the microwave, you kick it to hit.
Yeah. Yes. You get it. This is Sickos Academy. Do you ever drop something and then you have to?
The Signal Academy and the Shaken Babies are great faction names. Guys, tell us how you would use. Would you use them to shake some babies?
Yeah.
Rob says they would do spin kicks to open beer bottles.
That's a great party trick. Yeah. However, question, when you drop things on the floor, do you bend down and pick it up first, or do you use your piggies to snatch it?
It depends on what it is. Because if it's something big, then I'm going to bend down and pick it up. It also depends on what I'm wearing. Like, am I in a dress? Am I in a skirt? Am I in pants?
Yeah.
Most times, if it's something small and I know I can just pick it up with my foot, I'm just going to use my foot.
Whenever I drop a pencil, I use my piggies. Cause
why not? Yeah, you might as well. That's what they're there for.
It's kind of fun because I feel very powerful. So yeah. I wonder if Speedball feels powerful using their piggies.
I think they feel powerful just all the time, knowing that one,
well, that
they're talented of a wrestler, and two, that like everybody knows it.
Yeah.
That right. There's power in that.
I'm going to call 1-800-SPEEDBALL and I'm going to ask Mike Bailey. Oh Mike my Bailey, God. Yes. Swiss cheese brain? Okay. I'm just gonna say, hey, do you feel powerful? That's all I need to know. That's the only question I have for the speeds. You know?
I would feel powerful.
Yeah.
I would feel so powerful.
I mean, anytime I could do something that normally for hands with the feet, powerful. It's powerful.
But I do think that we're like headed towards Speedball versus Kenny Omega, which is a match made for me and you.
Yes.
And a match that I Tears. Think. Yes. I think it's going to feel like someone reached their hand up into my chest cavity and like twisted my heart around a few times and then just like shoved it back up in there. My shaken heart, you know?
I will be the shaken baby. That'll be me. Yeah. Just
the shaken babies of the Sicko Academy. That's us.
Yeah. I will purposely wear non-waterproof mascara just to let it burn my eyes.
Yeah. For the drama.
And run down my face. Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that just reminded me, Jenna Marbles did a video long ago of testing the cryability of mascara. And I think that I need to do it. I think that I need to take, I have like 5 mascaras that I've been playing with. I need to test the cryability and I need this to be our brand.
Yes.
Okay.
Some of them are really good now. So you got to cry a lot.
I know. Yeah. Well,
we do cry a lot.
Okay. Okay. So I'll have to choose 5 mascaras and then 5 Kenny Omega matches that just make me cry.
Yes.
Okay.
Period.
Sounds great. Or just Edge returning 5 times.
On repeat. Brian Danielson's debut in AEW.
Oh my God. Stop. Already thinking about it. Because I was there in person. And
just icon. Incredible.
I know.
Game changing. But I do want to say, I have to have a moment where I brag. Mike says Mike Bailey should dethrone Kenny at some point. If you guys subscribe to Fightful Select, you would know that it's been discussed in AEW that it'll be Kenny and Okada at All In. Unify the titles.
You brought that up in conversation months ago.
Yeah. Just saying, kind of a prophet. I know Tony Khan like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Absolutely.
Just throwing it out there. I'm not trying to brag. But if I was going to brag, I would say something like that.
Whoa, I never meant to brag.
But I got him where I want him now.
You know? Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Amen. Sorry, I didn't mean to clap that loud. I realize there's also sleeping people still in my house. So
Well, you were excited. It's, you know.
I can't help myself. It's shaking like babies.
It's shaking babies. I feel like we should rebrand the show to Sickos Academy. If we did like a random episode where we were just Sickos Academy randomly and we had like a very like a different background. Of a
different brown branding? Yeah, absolutely. Well,
what would you guys do? The viewers. And we just didn't address it. We're just like, hi, welcome to Sickos Academy.
the real ones would know. So
I feel like they would like it. Maybe one day we'll just do like a nighttime special and we'll just be Sickos Academy for one episode.
Absolutely. Period. Absolutely.
I don't, we were talking about Kenny Omega and then we talked about Speedball. But yeah, not bragging, but I did call it, guys, just to be abundantly clear. So if it's Kenny Okada at All In, mm-hmm. and it's to unify the titles.
Okay.
Let's make early predictions on what we think happens. Just because I feel like
we can
brag when it happens exactly how we say it will. I think Kenny wins.
I think Kenny wins too.
Period. I think what happens is it's a Kenny versus Okada epic, of course, and then we get the New Japan callback, the Young Bucks coming to be his
the second. Young yes
that's our prediction, put that's, it in the record books.
That's how they return.
Here's the thing, Okada doesn't need the win more than Kenny. Neither of them need the win. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, what does Okada have to prove?
Okada doesn't have to prove anything, and neither does Kenny. That's like the beauty of having the match, because you don't, there's no like Okada really needs to beat Kenny or Kenny really needs to beat Okada. It's just the story of two rivals who both have titles, who have both ended up again in the same competitive environment that they were in, like old school New Japan. Yeah. And they put their heart on the line and they fight it out. I think there's beauty in that.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Pretty, Zach, I don't know where your super chat is. We did not get a super chat from you. I am very sorry. I don't think it'll be a 60-minute draw. Because if it's to unify the titles, they need to unify the titles. And yeah, we haven't seen the best of Okada, but that's the point. If this match is old school Okada, as much as he can and as much as Kenny can, and Okada loses, then that's where we get rid of this like comedy, like laissez-faire style Okada, and we get into like Okada. That's like the beauty of it.
I want to see killer Okada, right? Like I want to see it.
Yeah.
Because some of those matches.
Yeah.
Insane.
And it's not that Okada's been bad in AEW is the thing. Okada's been really good. But we haven't had like killer Okada, like Omega Okada.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
And I do have to say, this character, even like with the comedic like bitch stuff, it's so funny. And like I wheeze laughing because it's so funny to me. And this, I am an easy laugh. I mean, you want to take me to a comedy club for someone who's not very good at comedy and you need someone to laugh? That's always going to be me. Yeah. However, I am a huge mark for anything that's like a reoccurring joke, mm-hmm. because it's paying off that I'm watching this show week after week after week.
Yeah.
Pay me.
Yeah.
Bitch. I mean, I think that still the funniest thing was him on the computer of, oh no. Like, you know, it's funny.
It's so good. I love the where it used to be like in New Japan, the Okada Rainmaker pose, mm-hmm. zoom out, very dramatic. I love that it's now just Okada zoom out, but oh, it's middle fingers Okada. He does not care about you or your feelings.
Yeah.
I love it. And I also love this Kenny Omega, who's like just so happy go lucky, smiley all the time, even smiling in his match with Takeshita. I'm just like, oh, I dig it. I love it. Meanwhile, Hangman, who has cut his hair to be the exact same haircut he had when he debuted in wrestling. This like Justin Bieber-ish style hair, super short. He's a rock in the bob. just like an icon, truly, who it's just on top of the world, but like kind of depressed about it in a way.
Yeah.
He's just like still somewhat in arsonist Hangman Page territory.
His haircut, by the way, very, very diva curl, very, very complimentary to his waves. Absolutely 10 out of 10.
He's just no a notes. Star. And this, the MJF feud, you guys know how I feel about MJF. It's hit or miss for MJF. But the MJF MVP angle on Dynamite was kind of interesting. So MJF is just like out there doing MJF stuff. And then MVP comes out and it's not like, oh, I'm gonna challenge you. You gotta wrestle Bobby Lashley or something like that. Like, I've known MJF since he was a boy. He drove me around and asked questions about wrestling. He's a real wrestler. And like, okay, we already knew that. Like, how many wrestlers have told us the same story? But okay. But yeah, it's just like Hangman MJF. MJF constantly feeling insecure. And the more insecure he gets, like the more orange and like really dressed up he gets compared to Hangman. Hangman who's like so far down the rabbit hole, he can't really feel insecurity because he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what to hear about. That's like a really interesting story. And so I'm into it. But I think ultimately MVP, not MVP, MJF needs some pizzazz. I don't know what the pizzazz will be, but it needs some pizzazz. That was my MVP impersonation. Roast my impersonations. Jason. He's a gentleman.
I'm sorry, that's so funny.
I treat him with the respect he deserves.
I mean,
I also, Mike, I also don't think MJF joins the syndicate. I think that'd be a little weird. Not gonna lie, a little weird.
I mean, who would be someone that you would want to join the syndicate?
Anthony Bowens. Same answer as I've always had. I think this is how I think it goes. Okay.
Okay.
I think Max Caster comes out to do one of his open challenges. What? I think Anthony Bowens comes out, squashes him. Yay. And then I think we start building towards Bowens in the Hurt Syndicate. But the payout of that is Bowens beating someone in the Hurt Syndicate, probably Shelton Benjamin. And then life is good. I've seen people say that they think that Bowens will come out and squash Max Caster and it will lead to like the reunification of the Acclaimed. Don't know if I'm here for that. I don't know if I want the Acclaimed back. I'm going to be completely real and upfront. I don't need Max Caster coming out and saying, yo, misogynistic joke about the hockey team. Yeah. And then Bowens just says the iconic line and then that's it.
That was a beautiful Max Caster impersonation.
Tell Jason in the chat that I'm good at impressions. I don't want to see that ever again.
That was perfect.
Now, if they want to do an angle where they sort of reconcile Max Caster and Anthony Bowens, and then we leave on a good note, but we don't bring back the Acclaimed. So for those of you who are not watching live or your audio listeners, we had two jokes about MJF being part of the Nation Doctor. We had Jose gassing me up about my Max Caster impersonation, saying, "Was Max Caster just here?" Cedric Alexander. Yeah, Jason's right. We're all living in your world. It's my world. And you're all just here living in it. That's the tea. This is Sickles Academy. I am the headmaster.
Okay. Whoa, wow. Okay. Wow.
You are like our supreme teacher. And I'm the headmaster who just keeps everybody in line.
I'm dead. I've deceased. This is my ghost. This.
What's happening?
I don't know. I don't know. At least I'm not the janitor.
It's in our espressos. It's getting us a little wired
up. A little loopy. This has been the best show ever. But is there anything else at Revolution that made you cry that you liked?
Mercedes versus Momo was really good. I gave that 5 stars. If you were wondering, Dave Meltzer did not, surprisingly. Swerve and Ricochet, I also gave 5 stars. It was iconic. Such a good match. What else did I give 5 stars? Mercedes, Momo, Swerve and Ricochet, Kenny Takeshita, Hangman MJF, Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher. I think those were my 5-star. Yeah. Oh, Tony and Mariah, obviously. That one was above and beyond 5 stars. Mm-hmm. So it was like overall a really, really great pay-per-view, and they followed it up with a good Dynamite too. I thought Dynamite was pretty good. Obviously the highlight was Speedball, but they pushed some stories forward, introduced some new stuff, got the ball rolling. I was into it. Just like overall a good week for, Ospreay Spanish Fly off the cage.
These scream I scrumped scared the dogs because. After Will Ospreay saying that he's never been in a cage match and he doesn't like heights either. Okay. Oh, what are we doing? What are we doing? Why did they start that match and they were like up on top of the cage? I was like, okay.
What are we doing? Can I also just say Kyle Fletcher, he came out first. He climbs to the cage and he stands like not in the corner of the cage where your feet can stand up straight and you could be stable. He stands in the middle of the side. So the bars make it so he can't have his feet and straighten his legs. So he's just like shaking up there. And then while Will Ospreay comes out, he like crawls to the corner and like is actually stable where he could actually put his feet down and have straight legs.
I'm glad somebody else noticed it because I was like, sir. I was like, sir, who told you to go right there? Because you
can't. Brain cells offline. I like to think that he was so excited for the match he was about to have because he knew that they had cooked up a classic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to think it was that. And then they start the match. They're both at the top. It was a really good match. There was blood. They're screaming and crying.
I hate you. I hate you.
Like, okay. And then he loses the match right after that. Icon.
Okay, but like I love matches where they're like, okay, this wrestler has these finishers. If you know this wrestler, you know that. If you don't, it's fine. But knowing that like Will Ospreay was teasing them or like trying to do, you know, his finishers, being tempted with that Tiger Driver is just how do you. It is so devastating and so protected, but yet with the hidden blade. And I crumbled out of excitement, cheered. It wasn't what I thought was going to happen, though. Because I predicted that Kyle would.
I picked Ospreay.
I know. We had that little discussion. And my reasoning was, I want to see more of this. How do we continue with this feud, this back and forth? But guess what? Kyle Fletcher looks so good after all that.
Yes.
And he's a fetus. He's a fetus compared to us. Like what?
Yeah. I think ultimately the outcome of the match didn't matter as much as both of these guys proving that they are tough and not just these like flashy, flippy, dippy wrestlers, which I love flippy, dippy stuff. Sure. But I think the outcome of the match was them proving that they can be these just gritty AEW wrestlers because AEW kind of demands that of its stars.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately that was the goal and they succeeded. There was blood. There was crying and emotion. There was flippy dippy stuff. But there was also just like hard hitting, brutal brawling stuff. There was a little bit of interference from outside the cage that I was not a fan of because I feel like the point of the cage is to keep that from happening.
Okay, but I will always love Mark Davis and his Pixar mom ass, I will always appreciate that.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
You bolt cuttered my heart. Yeah. Took them chains off. Hell yeah.
It just, so Mark Davis, because like, I think we talked about this. I was worried when Mark Davis came back that he wouldn't find a spot because Kyle Fletcher had like risen to singles fame. And then the Don Callis family was so full and cluttered and confusing. But Mark Davis and the Murder Machines, I'm kind of into it.
Amen.
Not Brian Cage, but the other two make up for it. The other two make up for it for me. Sorry, Brian. But yeah, Revolution, I thought overall was a 5-star pay-per-view. I think the last match, the main event, unfortunately, took away from it a little bit. But I think you had enough like classic matches on this card and a good pre-show, which was unnecessary, but the Costco guys were there, so they saved the day. I think overall, for me, this was a 5-star pay-per-view. Like, one I'll watch again and again, probably.
I will give this 4 3/4 star because main event needs poo-poo. More women.
Yes, main event was poo-poo. If that match had been what it was, but it was middle of the card and Tony and Mariah were main event, this is like greatest pay-per-view of all time level stuff for me.
Yeah.
But the way that they decided to do it.
What?
I feel like if Tony Khan called us up and said, hey, will you book one show for a social experiment? And we booked the show. I feel like it would be the best show of the year. And
yeah,
I think Tony Khan would learn something.
But here's the thing. Would it be like that SmackDown episode after that Saudi show where that was like one of the best SmackDown episodes ever? Because it.
I feel like me and you are just so plugged into the fan base that we would just know what they want to see and we'd be able to like cherry pick and like.
I mean, to be honest, I 110% agree. But
Mike says, I think this is a good thing to end on. Does Megan Bain dethrone Toni Storm at Dynasty? What are your thoughts?
I don't, it feels too early.
It feels a little bit early. I feel like what a win for Megan Bain.
Okay. But yeah, that'd be awesome though. I'm over here going, no, but yeah. But no.
I think my heart is saying, oh, no, you can't do that to Tony because I love Tony so much.
Same.
But, like, I think what, like, Megan Bain getting that big win would just catapult her. And then you could do Megan Bain and Willow or like, anybody. Because they brought back Penelope. They brought back Julia. Like, you have.
Which, can we get some chair lessons? How to hit some wrestlers with a chair? Willow can show them.
Yeah, that match was a little strange. Miss Penelope maybe is a little bit rusty, but I still love her.
I don't know why the women are so afraid of using the chair.
I don't know. I think it's because they don't have a lot of practice with them because AEW doesn't let them do it.
You said it.
And you know what? I meant it.
Well, thank you for saying what you mean.
I always say what I mean. And I think that's why the show is the chaos hellscape that it is.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I fully support it.
I'm glad. Because if you didn't, I would be a little sad about it.
I'm not yeah. Thank you.
I'd be like, oh, my friend doesn't support me in my...
Oh, no, my friend.
No, my friends. My friends don't support me. What a week.
What a week. But guess what?
What?
More wrestling next week to cry about because we have Megan Bain and Chris Statlander on Wednesday, and we also have Mercedes and Billy Starks.
This Billy Starks thing, I'm so into it.
I'm into it. And the poor girl got roasted for her dress this last week, which I didn't think was bad. It just wasn't styled properly.
No. And but like, also, like, I tried. Yeah. And I try to be aware that, like, people's style is not necessarily my style. So while I don't like mm-hmm. a dress or a shirt or something that someone is wearing, mm-hmm. I don't feel the need to roast them online about it. Unless it's MJF and he shows up orange.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree with Mike and I agree with Piledriver that Athena is probably coming soon.
I can't wait.
I'm assuming that's the goal for All In. Right? Or I guess Double or Nothing maybe, because that's closer. I don't know. I don't know when they're going to do it. But it'll be interesting. Athena just lurking in the background, ready. But then here's a question. Does Athena beat Mercedes? I think yes.
That would be hot. That would be
it's
so
like, it's
hot.
Like Asuka coming to the main roster.
And how she should
have. But we can't, you know. Well, Athena coming to the main roster, they completely dropped the ball on that run. But it would be iconic.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so good.
It would be.
But I don't know. What do you guys think? Athena or Mercedes? Oh, they're Team Athena. I don't even need to ask. Look at it.
Remember, we curate our audience, right?
We curated our audience.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jason says Mercedes has to lose, but you know it's real when Jason says it.
Yeah, because Jason's the realist.
Jason is the realist. That's why he said that my MVP impression was so good. Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap it up?
We've hit every corner of this wonderful world.
Okay, period. Do you want to give your final thoughts and your plugs then?
Final thoughts is that wrestling is alive and well. Here's my problem. I'm always going to be more interested in AEW and Ring of Honor. That's it. That's the whole thing. I try to get into WWE, but I think because. Well, I think because so many people were just so blown away by John Cena turning heel, then now I don't care.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm the only one that is just, I don't care about WWE because I really like what's going on in AEW, and that's okay. You can like things for periods of time, step away from them. That makes you human. But as we go into WrestleMania season, please don't feel obligated to just watch WWE product because it's on. There's tons of other things on. Plus, if you didn't know, Honor Club exists and it's pretty cheap and you can get literally matches from 2003 that you would never have thought to ever see. So,
period. Honor Club. I want to say happy St. Patrick's Day to Zach. I make beats as tribalism can kiss my elbow.
Listen, don't disrespect your elbow like that.
Yeah. I also, not to keep harping on John Cena, I do not care. The John Cena heel turn would have been game changing 15 years ago. I do not care.
Exactly.
I did notice he's not balding as bad.
Well, that's what money can buy. MJF knows all about that.
Birds of a feather. But my final thought is also I'm really liking everything AEW is doing right now. I am excited for Dynasty. I'm curious to see how they're going to build a card so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's where this is March 16th. It's less than a month. Less than a month. But I'm excited, and mostly because I'm excited for Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega came back and immediately the feeling was back, guys. I don't think that's a coincidence. Let's be real. Yeah, Kenny Omega has my heart. That's my final thoughts.
Amen. Amen.
Do you want to plug your stuff?
Well, hey, I'm Auntie Collins. Sorry, stop making me laugh. I'm Auntie Collins. I stream Thursdays through Sundays. Thursdays and Saturdays, I'm on Our Local Establishment, where we are talking about on Thursdays, Ring of Honor post show. It's one of the only Ring of Honor post shows left on the block. And Saturdays, as I mentioned, I am with the lovely Jose on the air talking about RuPaul's Drag Race, which is not wrestling related, but guess what? We have a lot of fun, and we talked about some really cool stuff. So if you want to go watch those replays, you can do so. And I'm here every Sunday talking about how wrestling made me cry. Follow me on all social media _QueerAuntie. You'll know when I go live and when I actually post another podcast episode for Collins on the Rocks.
Period.
That'll happen soon.
Follow me on social media at Kylie Wrestling, Blue Sky and X, but I'm more active on Blue Sky these days. Sorry, you guys are so funny in the chat.
I know, it's so funny.
I saw Omega Speedball, when it happens, is going to be a tight ass match. And I was like, okay.
Okay. I'm going to also put in a little rant. Okay. Ring of Honor or Ring of Lucha Libre. Ring of Honor was built on Lucha Libre. So don't even come in here and go, oh, it's not. What you know about Ring of Honor is nothing if you don't think that Lucha is the pillar and foundation of Ring of Honor. Go look at your foundation matches. Your first main event had Eddie freaking Guerrero in it. Don't come at me and say Ring of Honor is not Lucha Libre. It is the foundation. All these CMLL guys getting their shine, getting their introductions to you, learning about Atlantis Senior and Atlantis Junior being one of the first father and son to tag team together in a Ring of Honor show. Absolutely pillar of Ring of Honor is Lucha Libre. So know that.
Period.
Or else. Hechicero? We're talking about Hechicero? You mean the tightest titties in wrestling? Get out of here, man. Get out of here. All of my buds love Lucha Libre, so.
I love Lucha Libre. And I love that AEW has been having more Lucha, too. And not just, like, here's the Lucha Bros. Check the box. It's, like, it's hologram and it's gravity. It's like, a diversity.
That's what I want. And one of your champions is a Lucha wrestler. Hello, yeah. Commander, who yeah. has been showing up week after week after week, making it's okay. No tomatoes are coming at you. I'm just telling you that Lucha is the pillar of Ring of Honor. So when you think Ring of Honor, you should also think Lucha Libre.
Yes. Sorry, I was just thinking about, sorry, Auntie. I was thinking about back in the day, our old favorite Be Careful, Auntie.
Be Careful, Auntie.
Oh, my God. This is getting out of hand. Pile Driver okay. says Jericho, legendary Mexican luchador.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Get out of here. No. I feel like personally attacked.
The Lionheart is not Chris Jericho. You can't tell me any other way.
And now I'm just supposed to sit here and plug five balls. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry. It's a show live every noon Eastern on Fightful Overbooked. It's a show where me and Collins come on and we talk about the things in wrestling that made us cry that week. And you guys come in and we bully each other. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. This is Fightful Overbooked. It's a show, or it's a channel that has a lot of different shows on it. It has wrestling content, it has non-wrestling content, it has commentary, it has news, it has all sorts of things. So make sure when we're done here, you go to Fightful Overbooked, you go to the playlist tab, and you go look around and you see what's popping. Pile Driver, if you say one more thing about Chris Jericho being a legendary luchador,
he's a nueve. He's a nueve. Actually, he's a nueve, so.
No, I'm kidding. I would never ban you, but I will cry about it when we get off air.
Well, there we go.
I've already internalized the Jason's comment about my.
Oh my god!
Sicko Academy for life. Someone
Sicko Academy for life.
We need Sicko Academy shirts.
Okay, let's do it.
Sicko Academy. Yeah, follow me. Mostly active on Blue Sky. I'm on X as well. Mostly Blue Sky. And thank you guys so much for joining us for whatever this was. I had a blast with you, and we'll see you next Sunday, noon Eastern, same place, Fightful Overbooked, where we'll hopefully have wrestling to talk about. Hopefully.
More.
AEW don't shit the bed. Hopefully. Hopefully.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Back on my computer.
God, okay.
Oh, my God.
You can't. You can't call Tessa Blanchard a legendary luchador.
Listen,
in my chat?
Tessa Blanchard goes to Mexican restaurants and says, gracias.
Oh, okay, I think that's a good note to end on. Bye, guys.
Adios.